Turn to Psalm 114. Psalm 114. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language, Judah was his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. The sea saw it and fled. Jordan was driven back. The mountains skipped like rams and the little hills like lambs. What ailed thee, O thou sea, that thou fleddest? Thou Jordan, that thou wast driven back? Ye mountains, that ye skip like rams, and ye little hills like lambs. Tremble, thou earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, which turned the rock into a standing water, the flint into a fountain of waters. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege to share your word again tonight. We ask that you might give us direction in this passage that we talk about the presence of God. Give us instruction tonight as we look into your word, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. History is very important, and we can actually call it His story. And as we look at history, we see God at work in the past, and surely He has worked in the past. He has never been threatened by circumstances. We are, but God has never been. He has never been afraid of His enemies. He has never trembled at the prospect for the future. And He has never been confused by the complexity of a problem. All problems are no problem with God. No, God's in control. And because He's in control, we don't really need to worry about history. We don't need to worry about the present, because the Lord can accomplish anything. Therefore, when we face problems and trials, we need to remember some of God's workings in the past and see what He has done. Remember, He's still the same God as He was back then. Psalm 114 actually does that. It goes back and remembers what God has done in the past. I entitled the message tonight, The Presence of God. We find that mentioned in verse 7. It says, tremble thou earth at the presence of the Lord. In this passage, we see, first of all, a recollection of God's presence, a recounting of remembering of what the Lord has done in the past. He says in verse 1, when Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of a strange language. God formed Israel in the land of Egypt. When they went into Egypt, they were just 70 people. Jacob and his family. And then they came out of Egypt and there were much more. We'll look at that number in just a minute. But some people have called Egypt the womb of the nation Israel, because there they went in very small, but when they came out 430 years later, they were a huge nation. And so when God says, when Israel went out of Egypt, we have to understand that they went down into Egypt small. Remember, they went down with Jacob's family, and the reason they went down there was because God orchestrated the events of history, which in Joseph's life at that time seemed to be bad events. Remember, Joseph was sold off into slavery by his brothers. He didn't want to go down to Egypt. It wasn't a good thing that was happening to him, it seemed, but God overruled it all, and finally Joseph became number two in command in Egypt, and he was in charge of managing things so that the famine that was coming would be able to be handled and the people would not starve to death. And so when he got down there and became the second ruler, then Jacob and his family, Jacob thinking that his son Joseph was dead, knew they had to go down into Egypt to get food. And so they went down to Egypt, and the result was Joseph brought the whole family down at the request of Pharaoh. And the family began to thrive in Egypt, and they multiplied and multiplied. They got so many that the Egyptians began to worry about them and began to think they're going to outnumber us. And when we're attacked by the enemy is going to get the slaves on their side and they'll defeat us. And so they were worried about it. They tried to kill the baby boys. They tried to do everything they could to control this. But God was forming a nation in the land of Egypt. And so it says, when Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language. A people of strange language. They grew up in Egypt, And Egypt was a different language, but it seems like even though they grew up in Egypt, they must have maintained their own language. They maintained their unity. They maintained the fact that they were a nation, and they didn't assimilate with the Egyptians and become one of them. They maintained their own language so that the Egyptian language was considered by them a strange language. But God brought the nation of Israel out of Egypt. It says, when Israel went out of Egypt. Now, we need to go back in the Scripture and find out how big Israel was when they came out of Egypt. The Bible tells us that when they came out, there were 603,550 men 20 years old and older. Now, that's just the men. 603,000, Exodus 38, verse 26, and Numbers 1, verse 46, tell us the same number exactly. 603,550 men, 20 years old and upward. That means, as many have estimated, there were probably 2 to 3 million people in Egypt, Israelites in Egypt that came out. None of them stayed. All of them came out with the Israelites. And so you think, 603,550 males, 20 years old and older, came out. Well, what about all the males that were under 20 years old? And what about all the girls? What about the women? What about the old men who no longer could fight and all that? So you add all those numbers, and there are probably at least 2 million people strong, and they come out of Egypt. Now, God had planned this long before. Things don't just happen in history. And things just don't happen in your life. When you have something take place in your life and you wonder, how in the world am I going to get through this? You need to understand God knew all about it before it ever happened. Turn back with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15, verse 13. God was talking to Abraham. Abraham was the one that God first began the nation with. And Abraham had Isaac, and then Isaac had Jacob, and from Jacob the 12 sons who formed the 12 tribes of Israel. But it all started back in Abraham. And Abraham was the one that God gave the covenant of circumcision, you know. And so back Abraham, God told Abraham this, Genesis chapter 15, verse 13. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. He's talking about Egypt. I mean, Jacob hadn't even been born yet. His children hadn't been born yet. They surely hadn't gone down into Egypt. God knew all about it, though. He says, you'll be a stranger in a land, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Now, we find in other passages it was actually 430 years. This was probably just a rounded-off number by the Lord. And he says, they'll be down there 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. So we know that when the children of Israel came out of the land of Egypt, they borrowed from their neighbors. They gave them all kinds of gold and silver and jewelry and everything, and they used that to make the tabernacle, the things in the tabernacle. And God had all of that planned out. And he said, you're going to go down into Egypt or to a nation someday, and there I'm going to bring you out after 400 years, and then I'm going to bring you out with great substance. So God had it all worked out and all planned. There's no accident with God. And so you need to know that. We need to know that when we face troubles in our life, that the Lord knows all about it. And then God was present with Israel. Notice what this says, verse 2. Judah was his sanctuary, and Israel his dominion. Word sanctuary means a set-apart place. In the Scripture, it was a set-apart place for the Lord, and it was a holy place. And the sanctuary was the place where the Lord would dwell. And so the Lord says, Israel was my sanctuary, or Judah was my sanctuary, speaking of one of the tribes who was the head of Israel. It says, Judah was my sanctuary, and Israel was my dominion. And so the Lord says, in all the world, there was a nation that I was forming, and after I had formed them in the land of Egypt, I brought them out some 2 million strong, and that big group of people was where I dwelt. was where I was. They were set apart unto me, and I was working particularly with them. And then he says this, and Israel, his dominion, the place that he ruled, the place the Lord was in charge of, and he was moving in. And that, so Israel is my sanctuary and my dominion. They're my set apart place. They're the place that I dwell. They're the place that the people that I'm working with, and they're my sanctuary and my dominion. And so when they came out, something happened. And it says this, after recollecting that, he tells about the reaction of different things when they come out. So he reminds them of the past of Israel, and then he tells them about what happens when they come out, this people of Israel. You know, sometimes we picture the children of Israel coming up to the Red Sea. And as the Bible depicts it, you know, Moses puts out his rod and the Red Sea departs or separates. And we think, well, God did that, and surely God did. But the Lord in this passage looks at it a little bit different. He says, Judah is my sanctuary and Israel is my dominion. This big nation of 2 million plus people coming out of the land of Egypt, and when they get to the Red Sea is scared to death of them because God's there. And he says, the sea saw it. Didn't say the sea saw the rod. It says the sea saw it, the dominion of the Lord, the sanctuary of the Lord, the people of the Lord. And when the sea saw that, the sea fled. It says this, the sea saw it and fled. And so when the sea divided, why did it divide? Because God was coming at the sea and God was commanding that the sea open up because here I come. And God was coming with his people. And so the sea opened up. It couldn't do anything else. The Creator told it to do that. But notice what else he says. And the Jordan was driven back. Now, on Wednesday night, we've been studying Joshua. And we see in Joshua that when God brought the children of Israel across the Jordan River, this is exactly what happened. The Jordan was driven back. Greg and Jean were showing me a picture after church this morning of over at, what was, Paint Creek? Where they'd let the water out of the dam and it was gushing out of there at great force. What was the force? 2,000 2,000 gallons per second. Now that's something. You see that big stream coming out of there. Well, can you imagine the Jordan River? And remember, the Bible says the Jordan River was at flood stage. And the Bible says when God and his people came, 2 million plus strong, and they're coming to approach the Jordan River, and it's time for them to cross over. It's God's will for them to cross. What happens? The Jordan just gets out of there. It gets out of the way of the children of Israel. And it says that it was driven back. And the Bible tells us that's what happened. And that is the Lord took the Jordan River, and it's like he stopped it, and he just drove it back all the way up to Adam. And there it was dammed up. And all the water then that was in the stream, otherwise it just went down and there was no water in the stream because the Lord put a dam there. Now, if I was there and looked at it, I'd have to say, and you would too, wow, what's holding that water back? Look at that high dam. The Jordan River is just stopped. It's still flowing from above it into that, but it's splashing up like this and it can't get over. It's dammed up. Who dammed it up? The Lord did. Why did God dam it up? Because his people were coming. And they needed to get across the Jordan River. And so the Jordan River obeyed the Lord's command, and it backed up. It was driven back. And then notice what else he says. The mountains skip like rams, and the little hills like lambs. The mountains skip like rams, and the little hills like lambs. I believe he's probably talking about what happened, you remember at Mount Sinai, when the children of Israel, after they crossed the Red Sea and they were going to Mount Sinai, and there the Lord was going to meet Moses and was going to give him the law. And the Bible says what happened there in Exodus chapter 19, verse 18, Mount Sinai quaked greatly. The mountain shook because God was there. Psalm 68, verse 7 says, the earth shook. Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the presence of God. This passage talks about, verse 7, the presence, tremble at the presence of God. And so what made the mountains quake was God came. And at the mountain looked down and saw all these 2 million plus people, and selected people from those would come up into the mountain as God allowed them to. Moses and Joshua, and then some of the others came so far, as some of the elders. But then Moses went on up to get the law. But the mountain saw the coming of the Lord, and the mountain quaked, and the mountain shook. Why? Because the Lord's presence was there. And so then the Lord, in this passage, talks to the mountains. He talks to the Jordan, and he talks to the sea. And he says this, "What aileth thee, O thou sea, that thou fleddest?" What's wrong, sea? What ails you? Why did you run away? Why did you open up? Of course, the Lord knows the answer. Because you had to. I was here. And it was my desire for you to do that and open up so my people get through. What ails you, sea? Why aren't you acting like normal? And then he says this, "And thou Jordan, that thou wast driven back." What's wrong with you, Jordan, that you quit running down the stream? Why did you back up that way? And of course, the answer is God made it back up. And then he says this, "And ye mountains, that ye skip like rams, and ye little hills like lambs." Why did you do that? And of course, the answer is because God told us to do it. Because God's presence came, and it was His desire that we do that. You know, there's an interesting thing that we think about tonight, and that is, you know, well, sometimes we call this auditorium a sanctuary. I usually use the word auditorium, but because sanctuary, there's a lot of sanctuary sitting in this sanctuary, if you want to say it that way. And that is, we are where God dwells, doesn't He? Don't we? I mean, we're the ones that God dwells in. And so it's okay to call the auditorium a sanctuary because it's a set-apart place for the Lord. And the word sanctuary is from the word that means sanctified or set apart. It's set apart unto the Lord. But when we leave here, it's not that the Lord is in this place in a very special way when it's empty. No, the Lord lives in us, and we are sanctuaries of the Lord, and God indwells us. And so we really need to be something like the sea and the Jordan and the hills. We need to respond to the presence of the Lord. God lives in us. And then he says in verse 7, "Tremble thou earth at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob." Tremble, earth, at the presence of the Lord. Our old world is getting in bad shape, isn't it? We've heard a little bit of that tonight. Sister Chessie was talking about it like it was when she was a kid. I'm surprised she remembers back that far. But if I remember back when I was a kid, it's a lot further than that, Chessie. But she remembers that. And this old world is getting in bad shape. But I guarantee you, when God gets ready to intervene in this world will have to submit. And when God comes and He takes over this world, the world will not be able to fight back. It'll have to submit. And so there is going to be a time of tranquility on this earth called the millennial reign of Christ, because Jesus Christ is going to return and He's going to destroy all of His enemies, and the earth will respond like He wants us to respond because it's His will for it to do that right then. Well, God lives in us. And it's a rebuke to us, myself included, that sometimes we are timid. And sometimes, even though we know what God wants us to do, we're timid in doing it. And we really should respond more like the sea and the Jordan and the mountains. And that is, whatever God wants, we're going to do it, because God is able to do what He wants to do. And so we shouldn't be afraid. So tremble, thou earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. Now I like verse 8 because he concludes the psalm with this verse. He says this, which turned the rock into a standing water, the flint into a fountain of waters. You look back in the Old Testament time account of that, when the Lord turned that rock into a fountain of water. Remember what happened? The children of Israel were complaining to Moses. They were thirsty. They were ready to go back to Egypt. And the Lord told Moses, he said, you go over and strike that rock. Just a rock. And I'll give water for the people. And Moses went over and struck the rock, and the water came out. Now, why did that happen? The same reason that the sea divided. The same reason that the Jordan was driven back. The same reason that the hills and the mountains quaked at the presence of the Lord. The Lord said to the rock, water's going to come out of you. You know, that we need to remind ourselves of that when we face situations that seem almost impossible. Maybe it's a dry time in our life. Maybe there's things that don't seem like we can accomplish, and we're in a problem that we don't know how to get out of, and it seems impossible. The Lord says, remember the rock. From an impossible place, a dry old rock, God brought water. And he can do that. And he's a great God, and he's able. Now, the difference between us and the Jordan and the mountains and the sea and the rock is that creation has enough sense to obey God. Man doesn't. It's not the animals that disobey God. It's not the mountains or the rivers or the sea or the rock that disobeys God. It's men who disobey God. And we think we have a better way. And we think we know better than God does. And we think, surely this can't happen. Surely this can't be done. But the Lord says, I want you to obey me. I want you to do what I tell you to do, and it can be done. I think of Joshua and Caleb. You remember they came to the promised land, and they saw what everybody else saw. Giants. We looked like grasshoppers in their sight. They saw the walled cities, the fortresses, and they said, we can't do this. And Joshua said, well, I look past the walls, I look past the giants, and I look up to God, and God said, I will give you that land. And if God said it, we can do it. And let's go. But they wouldn't. So remember I mentioned that 603,550 men, they all died. 20 years old and upward, they all died off in the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And guess who was left of those, of that group? Joshua and Caleb. And when Joshua and Caleb finally went into the land, remember Caleb said, 40 years ago, or 45 years ago, you promised me that mountain. I want that mountain. And Caleb went and took the mountain. Why? Because God's bigger than the giants. God's bigger than the problem. And so the problem is not with God, the problem is with us. And we can do what God wants us to do. So we need to face the world and with confidence. We don't need to be frightened. We don't need to be intimidated. Even sometimes we are, myself included. But we shouldn't be. Because the Lord is greater than all. And he has said, don't tremble at your adversary. In nothing terrified by your adversaries, Philippians chapter 1. In nothing terrified by your adversaries, because the Lord is strong and the Lord is able. Someone has said the Christian should practice the presence of God. What's that mean? Well, that means all the time living with a conscious understanding that the Lord is there. He's with us. And he indwells us. He lives in us. And any problem we face it with him. And we are his sanctuary. He lives in us. And so we just need to practice his presence all the time, realizing that God can do anything. And we can trust him, and he can give us the victory. May God help us to be people of faith who always remember His presence. Let's pray. Father, thank You tonight for reminding us from this psalm about how great You are and the things You've done in the past. And Lord, we know You're the same God and You can still do great things. Help us to believe that and to trust You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.